correct. Stand by for the giant jackpot, kiddies.
The Fred Allen Show, with Fred's guest, Miss Carmen Miranda, Portland Hopper, Minerva Pius as Mrs. Nussbaum, Alan Reed as Falstaff Openshaw, Parker Fenley as Titus Moody, and when I'm not masquerading as Senator Claghorn, my name is Kenny Delmar. This week, ladies and gentlemen, Billboard, the world's foremost amusement weekly, published the results of its radio editor's poll. The program chosen by the radio editors as their favorite stars a man you all know well, and here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Kenny, I'm glad that you mentioned the Billboard radio poll. You were selected as radio's newest star. Congratulations, Kenny.
Thank you, Fred. The radio editors have been very kind to me.
Well, again. Sir
Allen! Hey, Portland. Now for some funny stuff, eh, Portland? Going to show me up, huh?
I don't think I get funny till the next page.
Oh, you don't think you do? No fair peeking ahead, you know. All the actors would quit if they knew what was coming. Well, you have some dull stuff first, you think. What is it?
Well, the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company says that girls who want to get married should go west.
Well, Horace Greeley once told the young men to go west. Why should the insurance company tell the girls to go west?
Maybe the men who took Horace Greeley's advice are getting lonesome.
Well, with all those Harvey girls out there. Well, that could be, Portland. And speaking of Mr. Greeley, let's stop harassing around and start along to Allen's Alley.
What is your question tonight?
Well, at a recent meeting of the Child Study Association, a panel discussion was held on radio, comic sections, and movies, their place in the life of the child. And so our question tonight is, have the radio, the comics, all the movies had any harmful effect on your children or on you?
Shall we go?
As the two little fish said when they were being washed over Niagara Falls, what's to stop us? it's sure good to get back to Allen's Alley, Portland. I guess the senator's in all right. I see footprints in the mint bed. Well, that's their footprints, too. He must have been in a hurry. Let's knock.
Somebody, I say, somebody knock.
Yes,
Claghorn's your name. Senator Claghorn, that
I
is.
I know your name.
Son, I'm beaming tonight. I'm sitting on top of the world. The South Pole, that is.
Tell me, Senator, did the movies, radio, or comics have any effect on you as a child?
I didn't need no entertainment as a child.
No?
I laughed from the day I was born till I was 28 years old.
Yeah? What were you laughing at?
And I used to sit on the Mason-Dixon line and laugh at them suckers going up north.
You never read the comics, huh?
I was crazy about Superman, but he let me down.
Well, how?
When I first saw Superman with his cape and that big S on his chest...
Yes?
To me, that S stood for one thing. The South.
Well, what turned you against Superman?
One day he took off his cape.
And underneath?
Superman, that muscle-bound turncoat, was wearing a red Union suit.
So long, Senator. Say, I just noticed the senator's feet are flat. Let's see if Mr. Moody is still up.
Howdy, Bob.
Just made it to the door. Now, well, tell me, Mr. Moody, how do you feel about the radio, movies, and comics affecting children?
I'll put it blunt. Radio's the worst.
Well, why?
Well, the radio's either singing at you, yelling at you, or telling you to buy something.
Well, has the radio caused you any trouble personally?
Yeah, twice. I was so mad I could have spit.
What? What happened?
Well, one time a fellow says on the radio, he says, try Kramer's corn syrup.
And?
I poured some of that corn syrup on my corn.
Corn syrup on your corn?
Yep. My feet were stuck in my shoes for 6 months. So I'm
going. Well, Mr. Moody, have bad luck. Let's try this next door.
No.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You were expecting maybe French or corn.
Tell me, Mrs. Ann, have the movies, radio, or comics upset any children you know?
Movies only.
Oh, movies have bothered you?
Not me. My husband, Pierre, is susceptible.
Susceptible?
This is a word.
Oh, I see.
A I'm hearing it on information, please.
Oh, you listen to information, please?
Only once. The Menasha Skolnick is a guest.
Oh, I see. And you say movies upset your husband, Pierre.
Then he's seeing a movie. At night, Pierre is dreaming.
About the picture?
Incessantly.
Yeah?
One night he is sleeping. A big smile is on his face.
Well, why was he smiling in his sleep?
Pierre is dreaming he is Gable, and Garson is catching him.
Oh. Fine.
Another night he is wearing to bed smoked glasses.
Smoked glasses? What picture had Pierre seen?
A walk in the sun.
Have you had any other trouble?
Two nights ago, all night, Pierre in bed is walking up and down.
What picture started Pierre walking?
The March of Time.
Well, Mrs. Nussbaum, you certainly have my sympathy.
But sympathy I couldn't sleep on. A new bed I'm needing.
A new bed?
Last night, Pierre is eating up the mattress.
He ate the straw out of the mattress? What picture had Pierre seen?
Thunderhead, son of Flicker.
Well, that brings us to the tumble-down shanty at the end of the alley. A knock here should pay dividends.
Alack-a-day, Leon McDuff. Falstaff's here to do his stuff.
Minnesinger Openshaw, you have new jingles for us tonight?
You bait me, chum.
Yes, if you put it that way.
Have you heard, when the whale finished eating the albatross, he said I could use some dental floss?
No.
Or, a peculiar girl is my girl, Bridget. She'll walk on her knees to go out with a midget.
No.
How about this? My father claims he's found the elixir of youth. It's 6 parts gin and 1 part vermouth.
Now wait. Tonight we're discussing the effect present-day movies, radio, and comics have on children.
Precisely. Need I say more?
You have a poem. What is it called?
The Younger Generation.
And how does it go?
Since the day the world began, at the advent of creation, parents have been worried about the younger generation. Prehistoric parents were the first to rant and rave, to predict their children's downfall with the coming of the cave. Parents since have fought off progress to protect their fond offspring from the automobile and bunny hug, movies, cigarettes, and swing. The modern child knows plenty. Parents, my advice to you is have a long talk with your children. You may learn a thing or two.
Let's pause here for a moment. We'll return to Fred Allen right after these messages.
To find out more about old-time radio, old-time video, and the pleasures of listening to audiobooks, visit the Audiobook Club website, www.audiobookclub.com, where you can get 4 audiobooks for just 1 penny.
MediaBay.com.
And now, let's rejoin the Fred Allen Show.
That was a capsule version of Aren't You Glad You're You, played by Maestro Spike Goodman and his Radio City Slicker. Say, Portland.
Yes?
Have you seen a little Spanish book around here?
Here it is.
Ah, let me see. ¿Dónde está el separadrapo su abuelo?
What does that mean?
Where is my grandmother's adhesive tape? If some Spaniard ever cuts his finger and his grandmother has any adhesive tape, I'll be sitting pretty.
You're learning Spanish.
Well, last week, Carmen Miranda was appearing at the Roxy Theater, as you know. I studied my Spanish book all morning. About 2 p.m, I went over to the Roxy to Miss Miranda's dressing room. Carmen Miranda?
I am Carmen Miranda.
¿Cómo está usted?
Look, buddy, if you cannot talk English...
English? I'm Fred Allen.
Oh, Fred Allen, I'm so glad to see you. I thought you were some foreigner.
A foreigner? Why, I was talking Spanish, Carmen.
But my language is Portuguese, Freddy.
Well, aren't Spanish and Portuguese the same?
Oh, no, no. Portuguese is something like Spanish with a southern accent.
Oh, with a southern accent,
yes,
huh?
Yes. In Spanish, we say, alô, alô, amigos, que prazer em vê-lo, como vai essa foto, que é de novo no Brasil, sim?
Oh, and how would you say that same thing in Portuguese?
In Portuguese, we say, alô, alô, amigos, que prazer em vê-lo, como vai essa foto, que é de novo no Brasil, you all.
You all. Well, I was merely trying to greet you, Carmen. In Brazil, how does a gentleman greet a lady?
Well, he sweeps his hat off.
Uh-huh.
He clicks his heel.
Yeah.
And then he says...
Uh-huh. In Brazil, you actually have men who whistle at women?
Why not? Brazil has a navy, too.
Well, I guess it's the same all over. A sailor has to get on land before he really starts cruising. Tell me, Carmen, what have you been doing in New York this trip?
Well, I've been seeing shows, shopping, have a lot of fun, and you know something, I bought some new hats.
New hats? Yeah. Well, you're famous for your hats. Who creates them? Lily Dache, John Fredericks?
Oh, no, no. A man named Houlihan.
Houlihan is a milliner?
No. Houlihan is a fruit store in 8th Avenue.
Oh, Houlihan is a fruit store, huh? Has a front door for a vest? I suppose when you buy a pineapple, Houlihan says, shall I wrap it up or will you wear it home?
Oh, Fred, you are so fun. You know, you are funnier than Abton Castellanos.
Abton Castellanos. Well, thank you, Carmen.
And you know something? I like you very, very much.
Well, I like you very, very much too, Carmen. That's why I'm here, to promote the good neighbor policy.
And the people here are very friendly to South American friends.
Oh, yes. We like your music.
And you like our dances, too, no?
Yes. People everywhere are dancing, doing the conga. So you see, Carmen, we've adopted many of your country's customs, so you should meet us halfway.
How do you mean, Freddy?
Well, I have an idea.
Ready for your number, Miss Miranda.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Freddy, I'll be right back.
I'll be waiting. New York, our tour starts on Riverside Drive. We stop to point out an historic monument to our Brazilian guest. Carmen, this is Grant's tomb.
Grant's tomb?
The final resting place of a great Civil War general.
Fred, what's that man doing there marching with a sign?
Gosh, he's picketing Grant's tomb. Say, mister, what's the idea?
Claghorn's the name. Send in the Claghorn!
Midtown Manhattan. Before us looms Radio City, modern Tower of Babel. Home of Mary Margaret McBride. Turning a corner, we find ourselves on 52nd Street. Swing Lane, the heartbeat of American jive. We peer through the window of one of the many clubs that line this famous street, and we're in luck. A band is about to play. We listen. Say, doorman, what club is this?
The Union League Club.
I thought so. Arriving downtown, a seagull waiting for a red light in the street tells us we are at the famous New York waterfront. Scurrying up and down the harbor are the busy little tugs guiding ships, pulling scows.
Fred?
Yes, Carmen?
Look at that little tug over there. He's all alone.
That's right. No other tug seems to go near it. I wonder why. I'll ask. Hey, little tug, why are you all alone? Front, we cross town and pass New York's largest bus terminal. We see a greyhound leaving the terminal for Boston. Next, we come to Greenwich Village, famous artists and poets colony. A wild-eyed lady poet in a torn beret and a dirty smock is reciting her latest poem.
Farewell, cruel world, I'll end it all. I've drained life's cup, 'twas bitter gall. My burden's too heavy for me to bear. I can't find nylons anywhere.
As the lady poet passes her beret, we hastily turn up an alley and find ourselves on the Bowery, haunt of derelicts who have dedicated their lives to drink. A beaten one looks up from the gutter and says...
Hiya, Fred.
Well, hello, Mr. Milland. I thought you'd given up the stuff.
I was driven back to it, Fred. I was on Jack Benny's program tonight.
Mr. Milland clutching his Oscar, we see that night is falling, and as the even sun slowly makes its way through the Holland Tunnel to sink in Jersey,
But, Freddie, I thought to have a travelogue ended with a song, you know, all the natives sing.
Well, mine does too, Carmen. I have a song we both can sing, and it's a song all South America will understand.
South American rhythm?
Yes, it's called The Banana Man's Lament.
Hit the boy!
Bananas, bananas,
boy, Staten Island, that is. I'm a poor banana peddler, but I'm sure no whiz. I've got lots of bananas, but I cannot sell. And my whole banana business is going to Yonkers. Closing out bananas. The Brazilian waiting, she said. Well, what can I lose? I'll try it. Ay, 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 ay.
Ay, 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 ay.
Cosi, cosa.
Cosi, cosa.
Abigazun.
Abigazun.
Your father's mistake.
Your father's
Thank you, Miss Miranda. Your advice was swell. Today I sell bananas and the branchulas as well. I'm the peak time operator. I'm just rolling in the dough since I started selling bananas on the radio. Stand by for the most important radio announcement of the entire century.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Great Allen Fruit Company would like to introduce you to Jose Banana.
I'm Jose Banana, and I've come to say bananas have to ripen in a certain way. They're fleshy, they're brown, and have the golden hue. Bananas taste the best and are the best for you.
You can put them in a salad.
With mayonnaise.
You can put them in a pie. Any way you want to eat them.
With or without the skin.
It's impossible to eat them.
But remember,
bananas like the climate of the very, very tropical equator. So you should never put bananas in the refrigerator. No.
Definitely not.
The Fred Allen Show is rebroadcast for members of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world.